You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
Everybody say, yeah, buddy. We are so glad that every single one of you guys is here. Hey, by way of preface, before we get into the next part of our sermon series where we're going through the book of Romans, need to make just a quick announcement. As many of you guys that have been coming for a while know, our church has grown exponentially over the last couple of years since we bought this facility. And we literally went from running like 650 when we were at the mall to now we're running over 1,000 people. And I don't tell you that to brag or make it all about numbers. Numbers are important, but that's not what it's all about. I tell you that so you'll understand that some of our serve teams have not grown at the same pace that the church has grown at. In fact, it's impossible almost to grow at that pace because we've just exploded. And so they're stretched pretty thin. And you've heard me make some announcements over the last year for some areas that we need some help. And right now, we need help in our security team. So if you feel like you could be used by God to serve on the security team, I would greatly encourage you, if you haven't been through the growth track, go through the growth track. You have to go through that first. Then they've got some training that you have to go through. They do a background check. You got to go to the range and everything. It's pretty extensive what they put you through. But if you feel like God could use you in that area, I would encourage you, sign up in the lobby, email the church, call the church. We'll get you connected to Bill, who's over our security team, because they could use a few more people. So if you could do that, let's do that. Fair enough? Say amen. Amen. Well, we're in almost our 30th week where we are going verse by verse through the book of Romans. If you're visiting with Revolution Church, I just need to say this at the beginning. I always tag our sermons with this. That's what we like to do. We like to go verse by verse through entire books of the Bible or large passages of Scripture because it gives you the entire context of what's being said, and it keeps us from doing two things. Number one, we don't abuse certain subjects and spend a whole lot of time on things that we don't need to spend that much time on. But secondly, it forces us to deal with very difficult issues and difficult passages of Scripture. So if the Bible says it, we're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to continue in Romans chapter 12, and we're in this interesting passage of Scripture where in Romans 12, Paul takes a turn. The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans are all doctrine and theology. And so in Romans chapter 12, Paul takes a turn, and he starts to teach us how to apply the doctrine and theology. How do we put feet to what we've learned about in these first 11 chapters? Right now, we're right in the middle of taking a look at seven spiritual gifts that Paul lists out in this book. And we said when we hit these spiritual gifts, we were going to take 1 week for every spiritual gift, because we found that in the church, there's a lot of confusion about spiritual gifts. A lot of people think things are gifts that aren't gifts. There's confusion about what gifts and talents are and even how they function in the church. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start back in chapter 4. We're going to go, verse number 4 of Romans chapter 12. We're going to go all the way to verse 6, the A part of the verse. We're going to do some review. And those of you that have been here every week for this series, I know the review is kind of repetitive, but I think that's a wonderful thing. You're going to hear me explain the Trinity again. And hopefully, after going through this 7 weeks in a row, hopefully you'll be able to recite how the Trinity works with the gospel, and you'll be able to explain a lot of these spiritual gifts that we kind of review at the beginning here. So let's start in verse 4. Is everybody with me? Say, I am.
I am.
It's going to be good. Here we go. Verse 4, Paul says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different," what does that say, y'all?
Gifts.
Everybody say gifts. 1, 2, 3. Gifts. Made me think of gifts like online. Is it GIF or GIF? You know what I mean? Those little, every time I hear GIF, I think of peanut butter. Y'all know what I'm saying? But I'm a fatty, so what do? You know? We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If you'll allow me to explain once again, if you haven't heard this, this will be very helpful. Our church and Christians believe in what's known as a Trinitarian God. In other words, the Bible teaches that God is one God exemplified in three different persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The way the gospel works as it pertains to the Trinity, if you consider Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, if you consider John 3:16, is that God the Father loved all of us, all human beings, so much, even in our brokenness, even in our sinfulness, even in our complete depravity, God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, to this earth to become a curse for us, to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we don't get the punishment we deserve. Jesus took that on Himself if we put our trust in Him. We can, as a result, be saved if we put our trust in Jesus. Well, the Christian life does not stop there, because the Christian life then goes into this next part where, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God, the third part of the Trinity, then takes residence inside you. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. And we're going to talk about some of the functions of the Holy Spirit today here in just a minute, because it's connected to the spiritual gift that we're going to look at today. But it guides us, it leads us, it comforts us, and all those things. And one of the main things the Holy Spirit does for you if you're a Christian is it empowers you and equips you with what's known as a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is an ability that you have that you would otherwise not have if the Holy Spirit had not given you that ability. Every Christian has a spiritual gift or multiple spiritual gifts. And not only that, every Christian should use their gift. In other words, God has wired you in a certain way and given you certain gifts in the Holy Spirit that you should use. Every Christian. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read this last week, says this about spiritual gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to, what does that say, y'all? We've received it to what? 1, 2, 3. Serve others. Serve, the whole point of your spiritual gift is to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So why do you have your spiritual gift? It's not for you. It's to serve other people. It's for the benefit of others. Jesus was quoted as saying in John 15:8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus says what He wants us to do is bear much fruit. What happens when you bear fruit is it means you're using your spiritual gifts to serve others, and it produces fruit. If you consider this idea of fruit, think about a plum tree, think about a pear tree, think about an apple tree, think about a bush or any plant that produces fruit, and consider this. The fruit that they produce is not for them. An apple doesn't get to enjoy the apples that it produces. The apples are for someone else to enjoy. That's spiritual fruit for us. We produce fruit as a result of using our gifts, and our gifts are to serve others. Now, shameless plug once again, if you haven't been through the growth track, sign up for the growth track. The growth track, literally, y'all, this is not a work. We know some people in here don't trust the church. It's not you're going to go to this class and we're going to tell you we want you to give us $1 million. We literally designed it to try to help people figure out what their spiritual gifts are, figure out what their purpose is, so that then they can go make a difference. It's also a place you can ask questions, but one of the main things we do is we try to figure out what your purpose is, what your spiritual gifts are, so that you can then go serve others, so that then you could go make a difference. So sign up for the growth track if you have not been through it. Let's continue in our scripture. Look at the B part of verse 6, though, and let's make it all the way down to the A part of verse 8, and we'll take a look at our gift that we are going to unpack today. Is everybody with me? Say, I am. Paul continues and he says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Prophecy is simply proclaiming the word before an audience. He says in verse 7, if it is serving, then serve. Remember, serving, it's better known as helps. And people with the gift of serving, people with the gift of helps, they're the people that see physical needs. It's where we get the word deacon. It literally means waiter or waitress. Okay, so these are the people that see the physical needs and they say, man, I've got to meet that physical and temporal need. If it is teaching, then teach. Last week we talked about people with the gift of teaching. The teachers with this spiritual gift are the Bible nerds, so to speak. They're the people that want to absorb as much knowledge about the Scripture as they can. And these are the people, thank God for them in the church, because they're the ones that systematically train us in Scripture. And then in verse 8, the A part of the verse, we're going to get to our one today. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Today we're talking about the spiritual gift of encouragement. Everybody say encouragement.
Encouragement.
Hopefully. Let's do that one more time. One, two, three. Encouragement. Good, good. Encouragement. I don't want to burst your bubble with this gift, but I do need to let you know that while the NIV and a few other translations, not many, translate this encouragement, a better translation than the word encouragement, and encouragement is a good translation, but a better translation is the word exhortation. Everybody say exhortation.
Exhortation.
Exhortation. Maybe you've heard that word before and wondered, what in the world does that mean? We're going to explain it today. The King James Version, the King Jimmy Version, it uses the word exhorteth. Exhorteth. Everybody say exhorteth. Exhorteth. You feel like you're in a Game of Thrones episode or like a Lord of the Rings book or something? Exhorteth. It's a good translation, though. The gift of encourage, exhort, encouragement, exhortation. Comes from the Greek word parakaleo. And that might sound familiar if you've heard that word before. I'll tell you why here in just a minute. This word means to comfort, to help, to advise, or to strengthen. Now again, if this sounds familiar, it should. This is the spiritual gift that mimics what the Holy Spirit does in our life. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 7, the exact same Greek word is used to describe the Holy Spirit, and it's usually translated advocate. The Holy Spirit is translated as advocate. This is derived from the Greek word that's also translated urge. The same word is used in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, at the beginning of this passage of Scripture, when Paul said, I urge you, the exact same word that's used here, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if you consider the Holy Spirit's role in our life, again, I would encourage you, we did a really well-received sermon when we were snowed out in February, and I did a sermon called Who is the Holy Spirit? I would encourage you to go watch that if you're confused about it. But the Holy Spirit has several roles. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit enables us, and the Holy Spirit encourages us. And you'll see these attributes as it pertains to this spiritual gift of exhortation today. Chuck Swindoll says this about exhortation. Exhorters have the ability to drive truth home passionately, confront wrong constructively, and they usually do this without offense. Their tough talk is laced with encouragement. Out of all the definitions that I saw this week for the gift of exhortation, encouragement's a good one. There's some others that are good ones. The best definition that I found is the gift of strengthening. The gift of exhortation really is the gift of strengthening. People with this gift strengthen others. They're like your spiritual workout partner, so to speak. If you have a workout partner at the gym, this is a person that is pushing you. They're holding you accountable. They're making sure you get to your workout. They're making sure you put your all into your workout so that you can grow physically. Well, people with the gift of exhortation want to make sure that you grow spiritually. So they encourage, they help, they advise. John MacArthur says that people with the gift of exhortation provide comfort, courage, help, and strength to someone who needs it. Now this can happen in several different ways. Let me just give you some examples. Of course it can happen through a pulpit, a preacher that's preaching to a congregation. Again, you can see this blend of some different spiritual gifts, but a preacher could be using the gift of prophecy and preaching and proclaiming the Word of God before a group of people, and the gift of exhortation can be used in there. It can be used while teaching, although when it comes to teaching, I would make this difference so you can understand the difference between teaching and exhortation. Martin Luther said this about teaching. Teaching is directed to the ignorant, while exhortation is for those who know better. So if that makes sense, like teachers, when they're teaching you something that you've never heard before. You're like thinking, man, I've never heard this before. Wow, I've never heard it explained this way before. I understand this. The gift of exhortation is when somebody looks at you and they say, stop being stupid. You know better than that. You ever had anybody in your life, maybe a mom and daddy, you know better than that. Don't you know better than that? They say stuff like, if they went and jumped off a bridge, would you go jump off a bridge too? Might have the gift of it. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all seem a little dead today, so I'm going to have to go long, okay? Counseling. Now, let me make sure you understand. Counseling is not a spiritual gift. It's not. Many people in church think counseling is a spiritual gift. It's not. Counseling is a process that can use several spiritual gifts to get to the end. It can include teaching, a word of wisdom, exhortation, encouragement, all those things. A parenting. Man, the gift of exhortation can be used when you're parenting your kids. In fact, I would say, if you're a parent in here, you need to beg God for the gift of exhortation. You need to beg God to have the ability, and as I unpack this, you'll understand what I'm saying, to have the ability to teach truth to your kids, hold them accountable, call them out in a way that encourages them, if that makes sense. In fact, I would encourage the parents in here, a lot of times in a marriage, you know, a husband and wife don't have the exact same spiritual gifts. And so sometimes one spouse will have the gift of exhortation and the other spouse doesn't have that gift. And what I'm saying is one spouse has the ability when your kids do something stupid or wrong to sit down with them and deal with them in a calm manner, to correct them in a way where they're accepting of it, while maybe the other one is just like running at their kids with a butcher knife wanting to kill them when they do something wrong. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Okay? So listen, my encouragement to you is if you don't have the gift of exhortation and you're the one with the butcher knife, let your spouse handle it. It's not your spiritual gift. It's okay. You're not any less than them because you probably have different gifts than they do. But let them be the one that handles especially major disciplinary issues and things like that, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying that because I have any experience with this at all in our household. None at all. There is not. I just know people like this. And my wife's sitting right here on the front row. We know a lot of people like that, don't we, babe? But you're just different. Let them function in their gifts. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe they've got the gift of exhortation. Whatever, I told you last week, you need to beg God for the gift of teaching. Maybe they've got the gift of exhortation. Let them function in it. So this can function in a one-on-one manner or a one-on-many manner. One theologian said that exhortation is the ability to get alongside someone who has a problem and build them up, encourage them, strengthen them, and bear their load. So these are people with this gift that they come alongside people to help them understand and follow truth. They encourage others by their presence, their words, and their actions. Additionally, let me give you three kind of attributes and things that drive people with this spiritual gift. Number one, folks with this gift want you to grow in your faith. They want you to grow in your faith. Above everything else, people with this gift of exhortation want to grow in their faith spiritually, and they want you to grow in your spiritual life. Now, as I say this, in the New Testament, we have a glaring example of someone with the gift of exhortation. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he is one of the best examples of an exhorter that we have in the Bible. In fact, listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Paul pens these words. He says, he's speaking of Jesus, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone, listen to what he says, fully mature in Christ. Paul's driven to see people in the church become fully mature in Christ, be presented as fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So exhortation is a gift that enables a person to encourage others to become fully mature in Christ, to be more mature in Jesus Christ. These are people that want you. They want you to discover your purpose so that you can fulfill your potential in Christ is what they want most of all for you. These are people like on a practical level that ask questions like this. If you have somebody like this in your life, and we'll talk, if you don't have somebody like this in your life, you need them. But they ask questions like, how's your quiet time with God? Hey, tell me everything that God's doing in your family. Tell me everything God did in that situation that we talked about last time. Give me your testimony about what God's doing in your kid's life. How are you doing with Jesus? How's your prayer life going? This is how they think. They want you to grow in these areas. Now, the caution is, listen, the caution is that you need to be careful, because there's a lot of people in the church that think that the gift of exhortation means that they can go around busybodying. Y'all know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful. Because if you're somebody that just likes to get all up in somebody's business, get all up in their business, you know what I'm saying? So you can tell them what to do and what you think they need to do? No, that is not it. You're not called to be a spiritual Pharisee. One of the qualities of exhortation is they do it in an encouraging way. I'll try to drive this point home as we get to the end of this. So these are people that encourage you in your walk and offer help. Secondly, people with the gift of exhortation, these folks with this gift are worried about one thing, that is your spiritual needs. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the gift of helps. The gift of helps, people with that gift, they could care less about your spiritual needs. It's not that they could care less, it's just that that's not what drives them. They're worried if you don't have something to eat. They want to make sure your yard's mowed. That's people with the gift of helps, the gift of service. People with the gift of exhortation, while helps is worried about your physical and external needs, people with the gift of exhortation are all focused in on your spiritual and internal needs. You got to see how we work as a body, because different people are driven different ways. Some people are worried about making sure you got something to eat, making sure your physical needs are met. Other people are making sure that you're good on the inside internally. So these are people that have a way of encouraging no matter what, though. These are people that when you do something right, when God's growing in your life, when one of your kids gets saved or something incredible happens, they're behind you clapping. They're saying, man, you are killing it. Great job. You're absolutely crushing it. But on the other side of the coin, these are people that can also confront you and hold you accountable, and you like walk away glad that they talk to you. I don't know if you've ever had a boss or you've ever had someone that in your life that even when they have a hard conversation with you, you walk away going, I'm glad they talked to me about that. You walk away like a parent when they're exhorting their kid and they're holding them accountable or disciplining them even. You know that a parent has this gift if they're a Christian. If their kid like walks away going, yeah, man, dad was right. He should take my phone for a month. You know what I mean? Like, he's right. I'm glad he did ground me, because he made some good points there. Y'all know what I'm saying? These kind of people, I remember I was watching Parks and Rec, and one of the main characters on Parks and Rec, I can't remember their names, but he broke up with his girlfriend, and he was like this real positive guy, and she walked away like happy about how the conversation went. Well, if there's like a Christian couple, and like, the guy breaks up with the girl and she walks away going, he's the best guy ever. I'll tell you, that was the best conversation. Man, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so I don't know if you've had a boss like that, that like even when the boss is correcting the team or correcting you, you walk away like fired up. You don't feel like they got onto you. You feel like they lit a fire underneath you. Well, if that person is a Christian, they've got the gift of exhortation. And so they're really good at like making people fired up, an incredible gift. Another caution with this that I would give you, and you need to know this, because if you've got the gift of exhortation, you're going to see things in people's lives. But remember this, and I would encourage parents of adult children, this is a good slogan for you to remember as well. I stole this from Jeff, who is our Rev Men's minister. Unsolicited advice falls on deaf ears. Unsolicited advice falls on deaf ears. I said of adult children. If they're a teenager or a kid, tell them what to do, y'all, okay? Just let them have it. But like, unsolicited advice. So like, if you've got the gift of exhortation, you have to use wisdom. You can't just go up to somebody. You got to think, you know, do I do this in a casual way? Do I do this in a serious way? Who needs to be in the room? How do I approach this? When do I approach this? And so you just don't come out of the gates with guns blaring. Use wisdom if you have this gift. These are people that have an ability, though, to get to the root of a problem. People with the gift of exhortation, they can discern what the real issue is. Like if you've got stuff going on in your life, they don't just try to treat the symptoms, so to speak. They can discern very quickly what the problem is. So if you're full of pride, man, they can see that pride. If you're complaining about your financial struggles, they can see through all of the, I don't know how to put it other than all the BS, and they can like see that it's laziness. I don't mean to offend you saying that, but it woke some of you up, so I'm glad I did say it. If you're just being stupid, they can see that you're being ridiculously stupid and acting, as it puts it in the book of Romans, Paul says that some people act like morons, right? And so they can see that. If you're being rebellious, if you think you know a lot about the scripture, but you really don't, and you're biblically illiterate, they can get to the core of that issue. And so there's a difference between the spiritual gift of discernment and the spiritual gift of exhortation. Discernment sees that issue. Discernment sees through it all and says, here's the problem. Exhortation doesn't just see it, they call it out. Does that make sense to everybody? Exhortation has no problems having a hard conversation about what the real issue is. These people also are people that give you an action plan to help you fix the problem. They'll help give you steps to so that you can heal in whatever area it is. Let me give you a couple of examples. An exhorter, like you'll know a preacher is an exhorter when he's not, like if somebody doesn't have the gift of exhortation and they're a preacher, when they're preaching on biblical illiteracy, they'll stand on the platform and look at y'all and be like, why aren't y'all reading your Bibles? What's wrong with you? Read your Bible. Just read it. That's your problem. You don't know Scripture. Go home and read it. It ain't that hard. Come on now. Y'all have heard that before, right? Someone with the gift of exhortation gets up and says, you need to read your Bible. Let me tell you what you need to do. Download this app. Get on this plan. Why don't you grab this book if you're a reader? Hey, get in this group that's studying through the Bible. Have you ever tried to read through the Bible in a year plan? Have you ever watched this YouTube channel that can help you? They offer steps if that may. They don't just say, read your Bible. They say, do it in this way. Let me try to help you figure out what is the best way that you can learn how to do this. If you're a person let's say you are the lazy person, and let's say like you don't have a job, somebody that doesn't have the gift of exhortation would say, stop being lazy, get off your butt and do something. Yeah, is everybody with me? Say amen. Like quit being lazy, quit being a loser, get off your ear and stand on your own 2 feet. What's wrong with you? Just go get a job and work. It ain't that hard. Come on, sweat a little. But someone with the gift of exhortation would say, hey, you need to get off your rear end and do something. But let me ask you a question. Where have you been looking for a job? Do you even know how to do a job search? Hey, what's your interview skills like? Let me sit down with you and like fake interview you, and I want to see what you say. How do you dress to the interview? Oh, you know what? Let me teach you what you need to wear to an interview. Oh, let me help you understand. When you get a job, this is how you don't get fired. You don't sit down and smoke cigarettes outside the whole time. You don't yawn in front of your boss. Does this make sense to everybody? Say amen. Thank God for exhorters, right? So they offer steps. I would be remiss if I didn't say this as well, that there is a difference in flattery and encouragement or exhortation. Huge difference. Huge difference. Flattery is fake. Flattery has manipulation at its core. Flattery has ulterior motives. Someone will flatter you and may even fool you. And here's the whole idea. Like, you got to get wisdom, because fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, flattery is, I want you to do what I want you to do, and I'm going to manipulate you to get there. Exhortation is, I don't care what I want you to do. I want you to do what God wants you to do. That's what the gift of exhortation is. Exhortation is genuinely sincere. Exhortation has, listen to my words, no strings attached. So you got to be very careful when someone in your family, you know, they're trying to speak into you, but you know there's strings attached. People with the gift of exhortation do not have strings attached. And I would qualify a person with the gift of exhortation as well. I think this is wisdom. They need to qualify themselves in two ways. Number one, they have to love Jesus. And number two, they got to love you. There has to be a consistent record of them loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because If you allow someone to speak into your life that doesn't know Jesus, there's no way they can have the gift of exhortation because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? They've got to be a Christian. They may have worldly wisdom, but they don't have biblical wisdom. So they've got to be a Christian. They've got to love Jesus. And secondly, they got to love you. You got to know that they love you. And those two things, I would encourage you to have someone speak into your life with the gift of exhortation. One person once said this: flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you. Some of you guys right now in this service, you're thinking back over your life of people that have had the gift of exhortation. And man, you may just need to pick up the phone today and call them and say, hey man, I just want to thank you. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for your advice, for you holding me accountable, for you helping me to grow in the Lord. If it wasn't for you, I just don't know where I would be. Because it's a very fond memory. Thank God for the people with the gift of exhortation. Can I get a good amen, Rev Church? Amen. Thirdly, and finally, this is my last point. Every Christian, everyone needs someone with this gift in their life. Everyone. Listen, it's wonderful just to come to church, okay? If you come to church, that's great. But a lot of Christians just come to church. It's great. But even when you're in a big crowd like this, if I started to exhort you in this large crowd, it's a little easier to turn it off, ain't it? Somebody said yes. We got one honest person. Like, yes, I turn you off all the time, Pastor Josh. It's like normal. I'm snoring. You know what I mean? Thank you for your honesty. You'll get a crown in heaven for that, whoever said that. It's easy, man, when you come to church. Y'all have heard the song and dance before. If I get up here and I say, y'all need to quit being lazy and get a job, y'all need to read your Bible and blah, 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 blah. You've heard that before. Boy, it's different when it's in a smaller setting, isn't it? When you know someone with this gift that can encourage you, that can help you grow, coming to church is great. But if you're missing having someone with the gift of exhortation in your life, you are never going to reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. If you don't have someone with the gift of exhortation in your life, listen, I'm just going to tell you, it's probably because you're prideful. It's probably because you are just wanting people around you that are complacent, someone that won't push you to grow in Jesus. And when I say complacent, what I mean is you've essentially got a bunch of yes men or a bunch of yes women around you. Just people that are going to tell you you're great no matter what. You know, never going to call things out, never going to push things, anything like that. You need someone with the gift of exhortation. Someone that wants you to be your best, wants you to mature in Christ, wants you to grow in Christ. Most people surround themselves with complacent people. You need someone with the gift of exhortation in your life. Why? Because you need someone that you can talk to, someone that you can trust, someone that you can offer your wisdom to as well. And let me say this, let me give some advice, especially to the younger people that are in the crowd. We need to use wisdom in this area. And please understand what I'm not saying is, what I'm getting ready to say is not a hard fact, but it's most likely true in almost every scenario. I remember back when I was 20. How many of y'all remember those days back when you were 20? Raise your hand up in here. Some of y'all can't remember it. Like you were in Jesus' youth group, you're so old. I don't know, I'm just kidding. I remember Paul. Yeah, he did have the gift of exhortation. I roomed in college with him, I don't know how to say this other than this. And I'm not trying to insult anyone in here that's young, but when I was 20, I was a dope, y'all. I didn't know nothing. I did all kinds of dumb stuff. Okay, thank you. Y'all are being way too quiet in here. And we're not saying you're a dope, but we're saying, let me say it this way. When I was 20, I was literally the definition of ignorant, in that ignorance means you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know a whole lot. And so the chances that you're going to have someone with the gift of exhortation in your life, that if you're young in here, that's 20, if you're 20, might be pretty slim. It's probably going to be someone that's older than you, sort of like been there, done that, the gray hairs. You know, they got the gray whiskers. What did we call them? Wisdom highlights. That's what we call them, right, y'all? Wisdom highlights. And so, and if you're older in here, please understand, we try to make this clear. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, and the Holy Spirit takes away gifts. And so, it's interesting to watch people as they go through their life. You might go through a season where you're like, I have this set of spiritual gifts. But then, you may, 10, 15 years down the road, say, I think I have a different set of spiritual gifts now. I don't think I have the same gifts. This is one of those gifts that I think sort of develops as you gain wisdom, as you get those wisdom highlights, as you get older. So if you're young in here, I want to encourage you to try to find someone that's older that can pour into you, that can exhort you. And please understand, I'm not saying it's someone that's going to fuss at you. It's going to be like, you know, all the time and, you know, be Oscar the Grouch and stuff like that. No, one of the main attributes of someone with the gift of exhortation is they do it in an encouraging way. They encourage you. You need to know this. I've got several people in my life just personally that are exhorters in my life. Pastor Chris Stevens, Dr. Chris Stevens that came and preached a few months ago here. Y'all remember him? Say amen. I meet with him at least once every 6 months. We probably text every couple of weeks. And man, he holds me accountable. He holds me accountable in the things with the church. Like, why aren't you doing this? And you need to do this. And you need to do that. Steve Taboo, the pastor of the River Church down in Cookeville, I can hear his voice right now. We probably talk every single week. And every single time I talk to Pastor Steve, like the first questions he asked me is, how's your family doing? How's your kids doing? How's your marriage doing? I can just hear him. How's your quiet time? So tell me about what God's doing in your ministry. Tell me everything that's going on. The Rev Men's Minister here, Jeff. Where is Jeff in here again? I don't know if Jeff. He's right there. Everybody clap at Jeff. He's right there. He's killing it. Man, Jeff's killing it in Rev Men. We're trying to figure out how to get more guys in. They got 100 coming every other week, and we don't know what we're going to do because they've already outgrown the theater. It's just nuts. But Jeff, man, he's somebody that's got, I believe he's got the gift of exhortation. I really, really do think he has the gift of exhortation. Oliver Dosman, who's one of the elders of the church, gift of exhortation. I call him. I ask him, where's the holes in this? Am I doing something wrong? Is something off here? And, man, by the time I talk to those people and they say, I think you're on the right track. I think you're doing good. I don't think you have bad motives in this. I don't see any blind spots. I think I'm in pretty good shape. And so these are people, though, that I don't know how to put this. They have the ability to, like, make me want to talk to them, even though sometimes the things they tell me aren't real positive, you know? Like this, practically. Someone with the gift of exhortation, like when they call, you don't see them calling and go, oh, great. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Like you got those people in your life, when you see them calling, you're like, oh, crap, I got to deal with them. Oh, man. And you put it off and procrastinate for days. These are people that, like, when they call, you can't wait to talk to them. Hey, man, what's going on? Even if they're going to hold you accountable, even if they're going. So, again, one of the main attributes here, encouragement is a good translation. Really, it's exhortation. But that is one of the main attributes that exhortation has. Is it does it, like, in an encouraging way. These are men in my life that have really, they have a way of, and my wife is one of the best ones, too. So, everybody give my wife a hand. She's one of the best ones in my life, too. These are people that have a way of keeping your focus right. Like when the world's burning down around you, you're running a business, you're trying to, you know, raise kids, you're trying to pay the bills, you're trying to do all this stuff, and life just gets heavy. They have a way of helping you keep your focus right. Hey, remember, man, it's all about Jesus. Hey, we're supposed to focus on things above, not the things around us. They have a way of, let me explain it this way. How many married men do we have in here? Raise your hand if you're a married man. Okay. Married men, I'm going to need your help on this. Do we have anybody in here that is getting ready to get married? Is there a couple in here or you've been married like in the last few months? Because if not, right over here, you guys just married? Okay. About to get married? Okay. That's awesome. Give them a hand, y'all. What's your name? Jesse and Connor. Okay, Connor. Connor, I'm going to give you some advice right now. Unsolicited. But open your ears, okay, man, because this will help you. You may already know this, and you've heard this several times, but you remember the day Pastor Josh said this, because you'll probably do this, but I'm telling you not to do it. When you get in an argument with your wife about something when stress is high, maybe she's very, very upset, and you're not as upset, there are two words that you never say to her. Gentlemen that are married, what are those two words?
Calm down.
Don't ever say, calm down, to your wife. Can I get a good amen, y'all? Because you'll be dead. We'll go from a wedding to a funeral. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, people with the gift of exhortation have this way, in a figurative sense, of looking at you when you're upset, when things are going crazy. And they have a way of saying, calm down, without making you upset. Hey, we're going to get through this. It's going to be all right. The Holy Spirit, like, gives them this ability. This is the person in your life that you haven't listened to the last 10 people. You're freaking out. Your anxiety's through the roof. You don't know what to do. And this person comes in and just says, calm down. And you go, okay. Okay, okay, okay. Jeff's here. It's going to be all right. Pastor Chris is here. It's going to be okay. I got the wisdom of Oliver with me. I think I'm going to be all right. You got to have this person in your life, y'all. You've got to have an exhorter in your life. They help so much. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for today. I thank you for the gift of exhortation. I pray for the people with this gift that they would use it. I pray for us that don't have this gift, Lord, that you would push us to give people the authority to use their gift in our life. We thank you for the scriptures, God.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.